You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Forfeit the game before somebody else takes you out of the frame. Put your name to shame, cover up your face. You can't run the race, the pace is too fast, you just won't last.
What's up, and welcome back to the Locked On Bucs podcast. I'm James Yarko, joined as always by David Harrison. You can find everything that we're doing over at BucsNation.com, and make sure you follow along on Twitter at Locked On Bucs, at Jarko underscore Bucs, at DH82 underscore Bucs, and at Bucs underscore Nation. David, it's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a little while. Unfortunately, we were getting all set to record yesterday, and I had some familial things decide to pop up late in the afternoon, and definitely hindered our ability to record. So we apologize to everyone. It's all my fault. We're here now, and we'll get it done.
Definitely not all your fault, because I mean, even going back to last week, we had promised these people an episode with, you know, the fantastic Carmen Vitale, and then all of a sudden all of us had stuff pop up on Thursday night, and none of us could make the podcast. So it's been a disaster the past couple of days, but we're back now. So
yeah, and Carmen was under the weather too, so that didn't work out. Yeah, it's the off season, guys. That's what happens, I guess.
Yeah, but since we've been away so long, our devoted and wonderful listeners have questions. We have answers. They have voicemails. Let's get to it.
Hey James. Hey David. It's Chris from Virginia at TB underscore Bucks underscore for life. Happy April Fools. I might have a story to go along with that maybe tomorrow, depending on if my wife kills me or not. So we'll see. But hey, I just wanted to kind of something that's been bothering me all offseason is Bucks need to trade Cameron Brate because he's a backup tight end and he's making $7 million. And the biggest phrase, well, you know, Bruce Arians has never used two tight ends before. And I'm just kind of like curious to see what you're thinking is, Bruce Arians has never had Mike Evans, O.J. Howard, Cam Brate, Chris Godwin, Peyton Barber in any given offense at one time. He didn't have it with the Steelers. He didn't have it with the Colts. He didn't have it with the Colts for the second time. He didn't have it with Arizona. So my point is what someone did yesterday doesn't necessarily mean they're going to do it today or the day after that or the day after that. They can always change their patterns and change their schemes to fit exactly what this team has, and that's what Coach Arians talked about in his introductory press conferences. We're not going to scheme the player, or we're not going to just make the players fit our scheme. We're going to scheme to the player's strengths, and that's what coaching is all about. And if anyone else hasn't noticed, you know, over at the owners' meetings, and I know Bruce Arians talked about Cam Brate playing a little bit more in the slot as well, and it seems like, you know, they have a place for Cam Brate, and if someone came calling, I mean, they would have to blow up their skirt for them to actually pull a trigger. So, like, I would say my best guess, it would have to be a second round or better. I don't even think they would take a third round for Cam Brate. But that's just my opinion. Hope you all have a great day. Talk to you soon. Go Bucks.
All right, Chris. It's good to hear from you. And actually, if it wasn't for the fact that you literally just tweeted at the Locked On Bucks account, not just a couple minutes before we start recording, I'd be a little worried because you said that you would have an April Fool's story if your wife didn't kill you. And I don't really recall hearing, we don't have any other voicemails from you, so we haven't heard from you specifically until that. So happy to see that you're still around and you've survived April Fool's Day, whatever you did on April Fool's Day to your poor wife, who I'm sure didn't deserve whatever you did. However, Cameron Brate. So you're not going to be happy about this, and if you listen to our last voicemail episode, you're already going to know this. James and I are kind of on the side of, yes, the Buccaneers should, or at least it's a good idea to consider trading Cam Brate. However, we also agree with you because it's not that we believe Bruce Arians can't use tight ends or can't use two tight ends. It's that, well, I don't want to speak for James, so obviously you're going to have your minute to talk about this, but for me specifically, it's, and I said this on the last episode where we addressed this, I feel like the Buccaneers can do more with the trade capital, the draft capital that in my scenario that they would get in a trade than they could with Cameron Brate. Like O.J. Howard plus whoever they draft with that draft pick they get in exchange would be better for the overall team health than OJ Howard and Cam Bray on the same roster.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you completely. In fact, we've done a Locked On Network mock draft where I actually tried to use Cameron Bray in a package to trade back into the first round with either the Rams or the Patriots. Like, I was trying to make that move because I realized that the Bucks would benefit more from saving that $7 million that he is owed and using an asset like him to jump back in the first round and get somebody to help on the other side of the ball where the position groups are a little bit weaker. So I tried really hard to do that because I think long-term that's going to be what's best for the Bucks. It has nothing to do with my personal feelings for Cam Bray. I love Cam Bray. Like, he is one of my favorite players on this team, both from how he plays and how he is as a human being. I absolutely love Cameron Bray. But for the team, you always have to put the team before the individual. That's why we keep talking about how Gerald McCoy is probably not long for this team anymore. That's why we talked about getting rid of DeSean Jackson. You have to put the team before the person. So, you know, it's an unfortunate side of this business, but the Buccaneers can benefit more from acquiring draft picks to help build up the weaker side of the football than keeping a tight end who, again, he's not a backup, but he's not the number one tight end on this team. And he would be the number one tight end on probably 15 other NFL teams. Give him his opportunity to shine. OJ Howard is the present and the future here. Help the defensive side of the ball by getting some draft picks.
Nailed it.
Bird.
Hey, David and James, this is Wash. I'm up here from Valdosta, Georgia. Hey, I got a question about trading back. Do you guys think how far back is too far back? Do you think somebody like a good trade partner possibly could be Washington? I mean, I look at their roster. They've got Alex Smith and Colt McCoy on their roster right now. And Alex Smith has still had that massive leg injury this last year. So would that possibly be a good trade partner? Or do you think that's at 15, that's too far back to trade? Thanks for all you guys do. Appreciate it. Go Bucks.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. And funny, and I don't want to give too much away, but that mock draft that I was just discussing, David and I actually were able to work a trade. However, before that had occurred, I would have said as long as the Bucks can stay in the top 15, I'd be good with it. And of course, mock drafts are exactly that. They're mock drafts. You know, we have no idea what other teams are going to do. People are using their best guess. Tis the season for smoke screens, all that. But basically, everything that could go wrong for us after that trade back did. So that has kind of scared me from the aspect of trading back. I'm actually leaning more at this point. Don't get me wrong. I think the Bucks need to get those additional picks. And if they trade back with, you know, the Broncos or the Dolphins or the Redskins, they're going to be gaining some capital, especially with the quarterback tax that's going to get slapped on. So that would be great. But then what's the plan from there? Because if you're sitting at five and Quinnen Williams is gone and Josh Allen is gone and Nick Bosa is gone, you know, and you trade back, well, let's say they drop back to 15, David. Devin White is gone. Devin Bush is gone. Ed Oliver is gone. Brian Burns is gone. Montez Sweat is gone. Cleveland Farrell may be gone. Gary, gone. Like, what do they do? You've now traded back, and yeah, you've acquired some assets, but you have lost that top tier of defensive playmakers, and now you're stuck. And you're taking a lesser player because you have no other option. You know, they need to address the defensive line. They need to address linebacker. They need to address that front seven. Well, if you drop back to 15 and all those guys are gone, you're looking at having to address the secondary now. You're looking at Byron Murphy. You're looking at Adderley or Deontay Thompson or whoever it may be, whoever they like in the secondary, because all those front seven playmakers are gone. So it's a slippery slope. You know, I've been team trade back pretty much this whole time. But, you know, going through that experience, it's like, well, you know, yeah, you you gain an extra second rounder, maybe a fifth rounder, and maybe another pick next year, which is all great. But you just went from Ed Oliver in the palm of your hand to Greedy Williams. And that's not going to have the impact that the Bucks need. Nothing against Greedy Williams, but that's the situation you're playing with. You are a child playing with matches and a Lysol can, and it could blow up in your face.
The way that history works, right? If the Buccaneers or any team that trades back in the draft, if they don't draft a Hall of Famer and a Hall of Famer gets drafted from the time they traded back to the time they pick again, history is going to look back at that trade as a lost trade. However, yes. What the short term isn't going to carry through to history is the immediate impact. And that's why even with what happened in the Locked On Network mock draft, which you didn't get as fevered as you just, well, you know, you got more fevered when it went down and we were talking about who to actually pick than you did just now. So for all of our listeners, take what James just went through with his thought process and multiply that by about five. And that's what I was dealing with on the other end of the line while we're trying to make our pick at number something. I'm not going to tell you. And it didn't. It definitely did not go the way that we thought it would. And I remember when we talked about doing the trade, we said, okay, we have these offers on the board. If we trade to this one, here's how this might go. And here's who we should still be able to see and have a pick from. And we're happy with that. If we trade with this person, maybe it doesn't go that way, and so on and so forth. And it definitely did not develop the way we expected. And yeah, I mean, I was in the same boat where I was like, man, that trade did not go the way that I thought. But with me, I was sitting there saying, well, I'm really happy I got that extra day two pick in my pocket now. And that gives away a little bit, but it doesn't give away a whole lot, the whole thing. Because like you said, we did get a little bit of a quarterback tax to trade out of number five, but we didn't necessarily get one of those marquee names. However, I like the guy that we ended up getting. And when you look at the totality of it, right? So getting that guy opens up the door to make another move, opens up the opportunity to make three picks total on day two, possibly a fourth pick on day two. If a trade goes down the right way. And again, something that we've kind of speculated about, I really feel like, and I know you disagree with me on this, but I really feel like there is a potential for a team, whether it be Gerald McCoy or Cameron Brate, where if they miss out, if you have a team who's really looking to add a defensive tackle, a three tech specifically, to their defense this year, and they miss out on one of those top guys, then they may go a different route with their first pick and then be willing to trade like a third round pick to get Gerald McCoy as basically a rental. But they kind of look at it as that big of a need that they're willing to give up that third round this year to get that 1 year rental. So Cameron Brate's kind of the same way. You look at the top tight ends in this class. If TJ Hockenson and Noah Fant are both gone by the time, say, New England comes up, maybe they do draft Jeffrey Simmons as a future defensive lineman, blue chip guy, and then they're willing to trade a third to get Cameron Brate in now and replace Gronk because they didn't get Noah Fant or they didn't get TJ Hockenson. What I look for is like the possibilities, and it kind of goes back to what we talked about before. Would you rather have players 1 through 4 where your number one player isn't as sexy as what your number one player could have been, but getting that sexier number one player only gives you player 1 and 2. You know what I mean? It's like 4 really good presents, but you didn't wake up to the car in the driveway. That's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah, and real quick before we move on to the next voicemail, the Bucks are not getting a day two pick for Gerald McCoy. Not happening. Not happening.
That's a different conversation.
And we're definitely going to have it, but 100% not happening.
Hey, James. Hey, David. It's Canyon from Denver. Man, I just want to comment on this Mike Evans interview that's going around. It's got me really excited for a couple of reasons. It's exciting to see that the receiver crew is going to be very responsive to Jameis as a leader, as that guy that they feel can put it right in their hands. I love that, especially with the D-Jack situation. I feel like that was kind of something that always hindered them. They're going to have that back with Perriman, and I feel like everybody's going to be comfortable with them. It's just going to be definitely a better receiving crew overall. It's good to know that going up in weight for Jameis isn't really hindering him. Like Mike Evans said, he didn't really see a difference. You know, he's always going to have his mind on the game. He's always going to be a driven dude. So definitely some stuff that makes me excited and can't wait to see that in this season. Anyway, guys, go Bucks and have a good day.
Who's better than Canyon?
Great to hear from you, Canyon. Yeah, Mike Evans, what he said in his interview after OTAs, or after the first day of OTAs, rather, is definitely encouraging. It kind of echoes what we've been saying as well, that the Buccaneers have a very solid wide receiver group, even without DeSean Jackson, even without Adam Humphries. But it helps that they were able to add a guy like Rashad Perriman, who has a lot of upside still, compared to what he's been able to do so far in the NFL. If he can stay healthy, he's definitely a guy that can stretch the field and make the absences of guys like Humphries and DeSean Jackson felt a little bit less. And then, of course, we still have the draft coming up. I mean, just today as we're recording, Marquise Hollywood Brown visiting the Buccaneers. Now, you can say smokescreen and all that stuff all you want, but the important thing to remember is that the team flies these guys in and hosts them and puts them up, and they're only allowed to bring so many of these guys into the building. So while some things are definitely smokescreen this time of year, you typically don't pay to bring guys to your facility unless there is actually an interest in them. Not saying the Buccaneers are putting wide receiver on their day one or day two list as needs, but there is definitely an interest. And again, kind of talking about what we were just talking about a minute ago, if the Buccaneers see themselves with an extra pick, I always look at extra picks as kind of those are your luxury picks. So if you get an extra day two pick that you didn't have before, that's your opportunity to reach out and say, you know what? Look at that really cool thing over there that we don't necessarily need, but really makes what we have look even better. That's when you grab that guy. And you never know. With a guy like Hollywood Brown, as small as he is and as physical as his game has gotten and everything else, he could be a guy who slips into day two and into the middle rounds. And if the Buccaneers are able to execute a trade where they get an extra pick for something or from someone, that could be the time where Jason Light and Bruce Arians say, hey, we didn't have this pick on the board earlier or a day ago. This is where we reach out and grab that luxury piece, which could turn into Marquise Brown. And now you got a Mike Evans, a Chris Godwin, Marquise Brown, OJ Howard. And I don't know, maybe you flip Cameron Brate for another luxury piece later on down the line and draft yourself another player.
Yeah, and of course, the other thing to bear in mind is all these people that they have in for visits. I mean, they get 30 visits. You're not drafting 30 guys, but they bring in these guys that they have interest in. You know, again, like David said, you're not paying for these kids to come visit if you don't have interest in drafting them, but you already have interest in them, so you're building a file on them. You're building a file on the conversations that you're having and the kind of person that he is. And then you're going to follow his career, because at some point that player is going to be able to be traded for or is going to become a free agent. And you are kind of keeping a running tab on what they've done ever since the process first started, going from the NCAA to the NFL. Yeah. Other than that, David, I really don't have too much to add as to what you said. I'm a big Hollywood Brown fan. Yeah, I think he would be great to bring in this team. But like you said, that's more of a luxury pick, but it could be a very, very productive and lethal luxury pick. Again, you know, no risk it, no biscuit, and the defense only needs to be average. Only need the defense to be average, especially if they're putting together an offense that's putting up, you know, over 30 a game. So, you know, last couple seasons, the defense hasn't even been average. It's been last, just last. I mean, get them to 20th, and this team wins three more games. Terrible.
In the 18, they make the playoffs.
Yeah. 18th best defense they make. Instead, their defense was just terrible. Just terrible, David. Terrible.
I didn't mean to start something. I will say this.
Charles Barkley is now on the podcast. Terrible. Yeah.
I had a conversation with someone in Indianapolis who's been covering this game a lot longer than I have, and that we have, actually. I mean, you've been covering it longer than I have, too, but he's been covering it longer than both of us. And he did mention, we actually had some a similar conversation about smoke screens and all that stuff. And he said that he doesn't know the exact numbers, but somewhere around 60% or so of teams' draft picks come from their visits. So there's some wiggle room in there. There's that 40%, of course. But when you talk about smoke screens, the majority of the time, the guys that they're bringing in to visit are the guys that they're looking to potentially draft. So, yeah, take that for what it's worth. What about Jameis Winston and his weight? What do you think about that?
I think as long as it's good weight, it's fine. It doesn't concern me. You know, Jameis has never been, you know, the epitome of fit, I guess is the nicest way to say it. You know, nobody is confusing Jameis Winston with Captain America anytime soon. You know, there have been times in his career he's looked more like Chris Pratt did in Parks and Rec, just kind of a little pudgy. But I mean, he's, as long as it's the good weight and it's not, you know, affecting his play, it's fine. You know, he has trainers in the building. He's got personal trainers and nutritionists and all that, and they're going to do what they feel is best to have, you know, the best Jameis Winston out on the field. So, I mean, if they're saying you need to gain this kind of weight, great. Don't go out there looking like Donovan Smith. That's all I'm saying. No offense, Donovan, but I don't want the NFL's version of the hefty lefty out there taking snaps.
Yeah, I think that's fair. That's not offensive. I have kind of connected some dots that may not need to be connected with Jameis Winston gaining weight.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Conspiracy Theories with David.
Not a conspiracy theory necessarily. I mean, I think it holds water. So let me ask you this, and I don't know how many of our listeners know this, but do you know why sniper rifles have such long barrels?
Not a clue.
Because I actually got asked this question once at a symposium where someone said, like, why do sniper rifles have such long barrels? Usually your snipers are trying to stay hidden. You would think the bigger the barrel, the longer the barrel, the harder it is to hide, which is somewhat true. But there's a reason that sniper rifles have such long barrels. And you said you don't know why that is?
I would guess it has something to do with either the aim or the distance that the bullet has to travel.
Yes. So the reason, well, and the main reason, let's put it this way, that I understand that sniper rifles have longer barrels. The longer the barrel of your weapon, the less your minute movements impact the trajectory of the bullet. So when you're talking about hitting really long distance targets, you want that longer barrel because now as a human being, your natural tremors or your shakes or your nervousness or your fatigue, whatever is going on that's causing your body to move, hinders the weapon less. So like when you go to a range with a rifle that has a collapsible buttstock, if you want more accuracy from what you're doing, you extend the buttstock, it makes the weapon longer, and it makes your little minute movements less impactful on the trajectory of the bullet when you fire it. However, when you go to, say, a close quarters situation, you collapse the buttstock. Sometimes you switch your barrel to a shorter barrel or like a sub-nose type barrel, and you go in like that because now you have a lower profile weapon, so you can cut corners better without having as much of your weapon to potentially stick out and warn the bad guy or the enemy that you're coming in. And since you're at such a closer, since you're in close quarters, you don't really need to worry about how much your movements are impacting the trajectory. Why can't I say that word? The trajectory of your bullets as you shoot, so you can afford the shorter weapon. That's kind of a poor man's class on why sniper rifles. There's more to it, but just that's kind of where I'm going with this, right? What I think potentially is happening, and this is just me, okay, is that Jameis Winston is adding muscle not only to, you know, help his body absorb NFL hits. I think that is definitely a positive. But I think what it is that there is a potential that Bruce Arians or Byron Leftwich, someone, believes that part of the issue Jameis Winston had hitting DeSean Jackson was arm strength. And I don't mean that in the sense that I'm saying Jameis Winston has a weak arm. What I'm saying is that Jameis Winston has a strong arm. However, if his arm is stronger naturally because it has more muscle and more ability and his legs have more ability to drive power from his feet through his body up to his arm, then he's going to have to put less effort into throwing the ball. If he has to put less effort into throwing the ball and it's more of a natural motion because he's got the strength because he got the added muscle, then potentially it'll make it easier for him to hit those targets and hit those guys downfield, because he's not basically essentially it's kind of like what I look like is last season. I feel like potentially he was having to put so much of his actual energy into getting the ball downfield to DeSean Jackson that it sacrificed a lot of accuracy. Whereas if he's just stronger naturally because he's adding some muscle to his body and he gets more power driven through the legs, up through his core, into his arm, that also has more power because he's got more muscle, then it's more of a natural throw, and it's not, he can focus more on where the ball's going versus having to give all of his energy into getting the ball down there. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. That makes a ton of sense.
Those are the dots I connected. I have no idea if that's accurate, but those are the dots I connected.
I like it. I'm all in.
I mean, I agree with me.
I tend to agree with me too. You not so much, but me definitely. All right. Well, David, that is going to bring us up against the clock. So we're going to go ahead and get out of here. But we got more voicemails coming for you on the next episode. We certainly appreciate all of those that you guys sent in. And please continue to send more. Just give us a call at 813-444-5841. Check out everything going on over at BucksNation.com. We still have our daily draft profiles taking you all the way up until the NFL draft, 40 prospects in 40 days. By the time you're listening to this, there will be a profile up of Florida State edge rusher Brian Burns. He is our draft profile prospect of the day. So make sure you're checking in at BucksNation.com. Follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JArco_Bucks, at DH82_Bucks, and at Bucks_Nation. Hope you all have a wonderful, safe, and enjoyable day, and thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.